This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In Brussels today, there was plenty of talk and not much else. NATO defense ministers and the foreign ministers of the European Union gathered for separate meetings. At the top of the agenda was how to help push Libyan strongman Muammar Gaddafi from power. But as NPR's Eric Westerveld reports from Brussels, there was little concrete action on key issues.
NATO leaders today agreed to reposition some naval ships closer to Libya as a precaution, but there was no agreement on the central issue of a no-fly zone, only a pledge to look into the issue further with NATO's supreme allied commander Europe in the lead, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates.
Planning will continue under SACEUR's auspices, but that's the extent of it with respect to a no-fly zone.
NATO this week did increase AWACS aerial surveillance of Libya from just off the coast to around-the-clock coverage. It's not clear what use that enhanced surveillance is when apparently none of that information is getting to anti-Gaddafi forces on the ground. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen told reporters today the NATO eyes in the sky do not necessarily mean the alliance is planning any imminent operations.
But it does mean that we are watching what the Libyan regime does to its people very closely indeed. And if there is a demonstrable need, if we have a clear mandate and strong regional support, we stand ready to help.
That's not exactly what Libyan rebel leaders wanted to hear. They want a no-fly zone to help their ragtag volunteer army on the ground, which NPR correspondents today confirmed was pushed further east by Gaddafi's troops. The Libyan rebels seem outgunned and outnumbered. There's fear that Western help, if it comes, may prove to be too little, too late. A spokesman for the Libyan Provisional Council today said he doesn't blame anyone for foot-dragging, but that they expect the international community to act. Barak Sinir, a Middle East expert at London's Royal United Services Institute, wonders where is NATO's sense of urgency given the deteriorating situation on the ground.
Things have evolved so dramatically. Gaddafi has even managed to use air power to claw back some of his control over certain oil towns. That clawing back on the part of Gaddafi should serve as a wake-up call to Western states to cease their dithering and step up to the plate.
France today took tangible action and became the first country to formally recognize the rebels' interim governing council after President Nicolas Sarkozy met in Paris with two representatives of the newly formed body. Some opposition leaders in the eastern city of Benghazi welcomed the news. Mustafa Gerani, a spokesman for the rebel provisional council, said that recognition will help bring down Colonel Gaddafi.
As the international pressure mounts, he's going to lose more and more people. And I think today France put the first nail in the coffin, and we believe that more countries to follow.
Meantime, in Brussels today, European Union foreign ministers met ahead of what the EU calls an extraordinary summit on Libya tomorrow. The UK's Foreign Secretary, William Hague, told reporters the EU needs to seize the moment with what he called a bold, ambitious, historic plan to reach out to the region's fledgling democracies.
To act as a magnet for positive change in North Africa and the Middle East, to hold out the prospect of closer association with Europe, of bringing down trade barriers, of really being able to encourage and support the desire for democratic development and economic openness in these countries.
But lofty talk in the gray halls of Brussels will do little to ease the crisis in Libya. Anti-Gaddafi rebels want the EU to back NATO airstrikes and a no-fly zone, not reduce trade barriers. Eric Westerveld, NPR News, NATO headquarters, Brussels.